Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful for us to all be here this morning. If I could give up everything for just one thing, wouldn't that be something? That is a lyric from a song that came out in 2003. And when I first heard that, I thought, that is wonderful, and that would make a great basis for an exhortation one day. If I could give up everything for just one thing, wouldn't that be something? Now, those who've been following along in the readings will remember on Friday, Matthew chapter 19, a young man asked Jesus, what good thing should he do to inherit eternal life? And the end result was verse 21 of that chapter. If you want to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Verse 22 reads, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Was it the fact that he was rich? Or that he held his possessions in such great esteem? Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8 reads, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. Proverbs 27 verse 20 reads, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 reads, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Chapter 10, or verse 10, says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, and their greediness has pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The eye is never satisfied. It is always wanting more. And the things that people will do for money is sad, just sad. I recently went on a trip, a cruise to Mexico with friends and family. And after the cruise, Brother Dan and I did a road trip from Galveston, Texas, all the way back home to Victoria, driving through seven states, a total of 3,700 miles. And we saw a lot of places, and they were all the same. How can I get money from you? Same as Mexico. How do I get money from these tourists? Everybody has a sad story. One thing I noticed, everywhere we went was garbage, graffiti, substance abuse. The same as here. What used to be the dregs of society is now prevalent in every major city. Everybody has a hustle, a scam, to try to get you to give them your money. But no one can be bothered to put garbage in the trash bin. They just drop it right there on the road, the sidewalk, on the beach, in the park. It doesn't matter. It's not their problem. In the ports of Mexico, I learned that the store closest to the dock is actually the most expensive. The small store towards the exit on the way to the city sells the exact same stuff, but for a cheaper price. And the sellers get surprisingly aggressive. And then we went to Las Vegas, and the same was true. I don't even want to talk about what we saw in Vegas. It was literally disgusting. It is true. The label, Sin City. We went further on to San Francisco, to Pier 39, where you go to see Alcatraz. And it was the exact same thing. All the stores sold the exact same items. But the further from the entrance, the cheaper they became. It's all a staggered system. There is no difference from state to state, country to country. All the aspects were the same. Why is that? It's because human nature. It is the same. Human nature does not care about race, does not care about temperature, location. It is the same no matter where you go. And it does not care about time. Right from the beginning to now, man has not changed. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 8 reads, "There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all of his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune." In Psalm 39 and verse 6, "Surely every man walks like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and he does not know who will gather them." Back again in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18, "Then I hated my labor which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil." Psalm 49, verse 10. "For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their house will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of the foolish, or of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings. They toil in vain. They worry about who will come after them. They worry about their own legacy." One thing that I learned when we were in Mexico at the Mayan ruins, which was always a question to me, why are their stairs so steep in their temples? And it was explained that their temples are built on sacred ground, that they are put precisely in a line with not only one another, but with the stars in the solar system. So when a new leader came around, they couldn't tear it down. They couldn't build another one beside it. The only option they had was to build upon it. And the one that we were at was under excavation, and they showed us that there was three levels of stairs, one stacked upon another, each one progressively getting taller and shallower. Each ruler how to make it their own, for their own pride, for their own heritage, for the future people to see what they had done. That again is human nature. Make it yours. If you alter something, you can now take credit for it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which anyone may say, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, and there will be no remembrance of things that are to come by those who come after. All will be forgotten because someone else will come along and make it theirs. Now, everything that I saw on my trip that was made by man, apart from the Hoover Dam, that was actually quite incredible. But everything else made by the hands of man was an utter disappointment. Las Vegas, we arrived during the day, and all you could see is the cracks in the stucco on the buildings, the garbage, the homeless. But at night, that's all covered by the bright lights. It's all a facade. We went to Hollywood, and we walked down the Hollywood Walk of Fame where all the stars are. And it was full of garbage. The sidewalks were cracked. And there was no shortage of non-law abiding citizens. They were everywhere. It's all a facade. It looks good on TV, it looks good in pictures, but it's not real. It's made by man's hands. However, everything that we saw that was made by the hands of God was utterly amazing. The Grand Canyon was so awe-inspiring to see God's handiwork, layer after layer after layer, colors that you don't even realize are on the palette. Brother Dan and I got there in the evening, and as we were walking out, there was not a moose, but a deer, a local deer, wandering around in the walkway towards the parking lot, and everyone was standing back and taking pictures. And Brother Dan, being Brother Dan, pulled out his phone and started filming, and I'm taking pictures as it came right up to Dan. And all I could think of is that this will be what it's like in the kingdom. God's glory. Now, one day when we were leaving one of the ports in Mexico, I was on my patio. I decided that would be a quiet place after the hustle and bustle to do the readings. And I began to take a couple pictures as the boat was leaving the port. And I sent them to my sister Bonnie, who was at home. And I said, in the short time it took to do the readings, I've left that world behind. And we're now in the open ocean, the Word of God and His creation. If only I could leave my world that quickly. Now, why were the people mad at Paul? Acts chapter 19. Verse 23, and about that time there was a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines to Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. And he called them together with the workers of dissimilar occupations. And he said, men, you know that we have our prosperity in this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised, with her magnificence destroyed, whom all of Asia and the world worship. Now, when they heard this, they were all full of wrath, and they cried out, saying, "Great Diana of the Ephesians." They were losing money. That is what it came down to. A new leader meant a new god to worship, which in turn, a new idol to make, a new idol to sell. Nothing has changed from now to then. We may not buy an idol that is crafted by hands, but we do, when we can, buy into a cause, an idea. It seems like almost once a month, someone comes through the neighborhood knocking on the door asking for a donation for a very important cause. At the checkout at almost every store, "Would you like to donate to this very special cause?" And you say no, and they say, "Don't you care about the children?" No, I'm not saying in any means that donating or supporting a cause is bad. But anything done by man has a distinct possibility of corruption. It's been proven that when you donate to a cause, very little money actually reaches those who are in need. But everyone along the way gets paid. And it's not just our money that is wanted, is it? It's a commitment to follow the ways, to follow the causes, so that we could put our name on that. I fought for this. I fought for that. I stood for this cause. I stood for that cause. I am making a difference. It's all virtue signaling. It's all self-pride. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30. "Take heed to yourselves that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I will do also likewise.' You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and their daughters in the fire for their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that is the last hour. They went out from among us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were with us." Brother Nathan last month spoke of idols, and he asked a question. What are our idols? What is it that keeps us from God? Could it be us? Could it be you? Could it be me? Could I be my own idol? My own selfish pride? My own desire to have legacy? The world says to be proud and to boast of your accomplishments. God says to be humble. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Brother Bob spoke of working in an aluminum factory or foundry, how that everything must be done just right, slowly, precisely, the way that the aluminum must be melted and purified. Isaiah 45 and verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to he who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he who has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? If we are going to ask God to mold us, we must allow ourselves, our nature, to change. The children of Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be led. They wanted to be told. Just as when Moses was going up on the mountain, the children of Israel, they were afraid. They didn't want to come near. They said, you go, you find out what God says, and you tell us, and then we'll do it. They wanted to be led, told, which is the same as today. Most people want to be led. Because in doing so, you take away a certain amount of responsibility. If you're being led on a hike, you're just walking in the footsteps of the person in front of you. You might not even be aware of what direction you're going in. But if we follow in the footsteps of Christ, all we have is a map from 2,000 years ago, and the landscape has changed. So we must follow that map, forging through. And if we get lost, we can't blame him. We sit there and look at the map and say, where did I go wrong? Where did I take the wrong turn? That is the difference between being led and following. The young man, when he said to Jesus, what shall I do? What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he was told, obviously, to follow in the Ten Commandments, which he did. Then it came to sell what you have and give it away. Followed by what? By those words, follow me. Get rid of what is holding you back, whatever it is. Riches is just an example, but it truly is the root of all evil. But human pride is above all of that. Our ego, our boasting, our legacy, the way of the world. Psalm 101 and verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling unto me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. If man followed God's laws, the world today would not be in the condition that it is. That is why we are told that we are in this world, but not to be of this world. The statement that I began this exhortation with, if I could give up everything for just one thing, Wouldn't that be something? But that true, just like the world, is just a facade. God does not want us to give up anything. In fact, he wants to give us all of his blessings, all of his gifts of this world. Most importantly, the gift of forgiveness. This one thing offered by the love may be forgiven. It's not to make us give up things and suffer. It is to protect us from the evil and the falling away. If we follow what we are told, if we believe in God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved from all of these things. And when we follow him, we will have treasure in heaven.